Do you believe it's important how we worship? It's important who we worship. I don't think anybody questions that. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And the second commandment, not to make in thyself any graven images. I want to read Exodus 39, and I want to read the first 32 verses of this. This is the specifics about the clothing that the priests wore. Pay attention to the detail here. Exodus 39, verse 1, and of the blue and purple and scarlet, they made cloths of service to do the service in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he made the ephod of gold, blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen. And they did beat the gold into thin plates and cut it into wires to work in the blue and in the purple and in the scarlet and the fine linen with cunning work. They made thread out of the gold after beating it thin and then wove it into the fabric. They made shoulder pieces for it to couple it together. By the two edges was it coupled together. And the curious girdle of his ephod that was upon it was the same according to the work thereof, of gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they brought onyx stones enclosed in ouches of gold graven, as the signets are graven with the names of the children of Israel, and put them on the shoulders of the ephod, that they should be stones for a memorial to the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he made the breastplate of cunning work, like the work of the ephod, of gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen. It was four square. They made the breastplate double, a span was the length thereof, and a span the breadth thereof, being doubled. And they set it in it four rows of stones. The first row was a sardis, a topaz, a carbuncle. This was the first row. The second row, an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. And they were enclosed in the ouches of gold in their enclosings. And the stones were according to the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, every one with his name, according to the 12 tribes. And they made upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. And they made 2 ouches of gold and 2 gold rings, and put the 2 rings in the 2 ends of the breastplate. And they put the 2 wreathen chains of gold on the 2 rings on the ends of the breastplate. And the 2 ends of the 2 wreathen chains they fastened in the 2 ouches and put them in the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And they made 2 rings of gold and put them on the 2 ends of the breastplate upon the border of it, which was on the side of the ephod inward. And they made 2 other golden rings and put them in the other on the 2 sides of the ephod underneath toward the fore part of it, over against the other coupling thereof above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they did bind the breastplate by his rings unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it might be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate might not be loosed from the ephod, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he made the robe of the ephod of woven work all of blue. And there was a hole in the midst of the robe, as the hole of an habergeon, with a band round about the hole, that it should not rend. And they made upon the hems of the robe pomegranates, of blue and purple and scarlet and twined linen. And they made bells of pure gold, and put the bells between the pomegranates upon the hem of the robe round about between the pomegranates, a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, round about round about the hem of the robe to minister in, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they made the coats of fine linen of woven work for Aaron and for his sons, and a mitre of fine linen, and gold bonnets of fine linen, and linen breeches of fine twined linen. and a girdle of fine twined linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, of needlework, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold, and wrote upon it a writing like to the engravings of a signet, Holiness to the Lord. And they tied unto it a lace of blue, to fasten it on high upon the mitre, as the Lord commanded Moses. Thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. So this is just the high priest's garments that we've read all this detail about. And you go back from Exodus chapter 20 as the law is given, and these 19 chapters in between, or 18 chapters in between, is all talking about all the details of everything that took place in the building and how the tabernacle was to be built and what it was to be made of and how it was to be put together, all of those details. God gave all these specifics about how he wanted it done. The next book, the book of Leviticus, nearly all the 27 chapters, God is telling the priests how they are to execute the priest's office as they're serving in the tabernacle. God tells them how the offerings are to be offering and what's to be offered for particular occasions and so forth. All these details. What was the tabernacle? What was it for? The place of worship. So God told him all these details, these specifics, about how they were to worship. How the things that those who served in there were to be made, the things that they wore. These instructions are important. And while Moses is up on the mount, receiving all of this instruction, what took place down below? Aaron and the people devised their own plan. They chose what they wanted to worship God. I believe it's important how we worship. This is more going to be probably thought-provoking than maybe instructive tonight. But I know I've had some discussions with my own children about, well, what's wrong with this and why can't you do this? I think there's some things that God accepts and some things that God does not accept. And the main thing that I see as we look at Christianity in general today is people are looking for what they want. It's what I want in a church. It's the way I want to worship. It's what appeals to me. It's what pleases me. You know, seeker-sensitive churches. Man-centered worship. And God's pushed out of the equation. Now, we may argue about what we think God accepts and doesn't accept. But I think the first thing that has to be settled is what you're seeking, what is acceptable to God, Or is it just what satisfies me? And all too often, I think the problem is the people aren't really concerned about what God thinks about the thing. It's all about me and what I want. Whether it be music, whether it be just the form of the service and so forth. And I think God does give us some latitude in that. But again, the one thing I can be sure of tonight is it's got to be not what I want necessarily, but what God wants. That's the first thing that needs to be established. And then we need to build from there and to be sure that our worship is based upon what pleases God, what God expects, what God desires, and what God demands. That's what matters. That's the important, the starting place at least in deciding what is proper worship of the Lord. So, just something that you want. And maybe something to evaluate to be sure that we as a church are truly worshiping God as He desires for us and not just what satisfies and pleases us. What did I do in my prayer list?